With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 434. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of UFC. There's a bit of Bellator in here as well, you know, because for the first time in a long time, I actually preferred Bellator to the UFC at the weekend. What's going on in this crazy old world of mine? Maybe it's because I'm still high on Liverpool getting the pants pulled down and slapped all over the pitch. That's right. Two podcasts this week, Nick. I've mentioned it. Two. You can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website. Get yourself all over that if you need an Android feed. You've also got all the links that you need there for our social media feeds and a link to our shop where you can buy some beer. You're going to need some of that beer shortly as well as we build up towards Khabib versus Gaethje. UFC 254 is coming at you on October the 24th. You're going to need some ale, man. You're going to need some ale because it's on a good European time zone. You don't need to be drinking in the middle of the night. You don't need to be doing crazy things and staying up till 5 in the morning to see some lads have a bit of a knock. It's going to go off at 9 o'clock. Beautiful. You'll be tucked up in bed for 11. Perfect. Eh? What more do you want? What more do you want indeed? At the weekend, I can't decide my thoughts on the performance at the weekend of the main event, right? Because Holly Holm was great. Holly Holm looked like she rolled back the years. Last time I watched Holly, I kind of started falling asleep halfway through the fight because it was a little bit whatever. At the weekend, Holly Holm looked brilliant. Her output, strikes, outstanding, man. Her takedowns, outstanding. And don't get me wrong, she's in her late 30s now, is Holly. I've seen her up against the elite operators in the divisions that she competes at, and she's fallen short. Of when you've got a person like Amanda Nunes to come up against, you're going to fall short, aren't you? But then I kind of look at the opponent that she was fighting, and although Aldana was coming off a great victory against Vieira last December, yeah. Was it? I think it was. Mm-hmm. I thought she was really bad, mate. I thought she was poor. I didn't know what the game plan was. I didn't know what she was attempting to do against Holly Holm. So I'm at that weird stage where I'm thinking, was Aldana really crap? Or was Holly Holm really, really good? Or was it somewhere in the middle? It's a weird one to try and dissect. I don't know where I'm at with it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I thought, I'm with you. I think it was a little bit of both, but I thought Holly Holm absolutely turned back the clock. And I remember on Thursday or Friday picking up an article on some random website, decent website, but an article basically saying Holly Holm's finished. She shouldn't be fighting no more. She's done this and that. And I thought, well, that's a bit harsh. Yeah. You know, and basically saying she's never going to be Hall of Fame. She's never going to be world champion again. I was thinking, well, she probably is going to make the Hall of Fame for a start.
Yeah.
And she's far from done. And I just thought, I don't know whether Holly Holm's seen the same article or what, but she responded like she had seen it. And it was a bit like, listen, I'm still here. I'm still on the map. And she beat Aldana in the stand-up. She was taking her down at will.
Yeah.
You know, she absolutely cruised it. And I think it was a bit like Aldana was very disappointing, seeing as her last performance was probably her best performance of her career. She was disappointing. But I'd rather look at the positives. And the positives are that Holly Holm looked great. Jermaine Randamie earlier on in the main car at bantamweight, she looked great as well.
That's the fight
for
to
a
make.
Kickboxer.
For me, that's the fight to make. Holm and Randamie is the fight.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Just go, boom. Bomb, take them, put them together, done. There's your next fight night, main event before the end of the year for the UFC, maybe even do it back in the US. So that's the positive I'm taking out of it. It wasn't a great card, as you say, but there was three or four things worth talking about. And the other thing we're talking about was Carlos Condit getting back in the win column.
Stop it.
Jesus Christ. Stop I can't it, remember man. The last time Carlos won a fight.
Well, I'll tell you.
And it was just good to see it.
Do you want me to tell you? May 2015.
Wow. Thiago.
Thiago in Brazil. That's the last time won a fight.
Wow.
And now he's absolutely top of the prelims fighting, don't get me wrong, tough cookie. He's fighting a tough cookie there. But we're not talking about an elite level operator that's going on to challenge for world titles, are we? You know what I mean? He needed to end the skid. No, it's a career saving win, isn't it? And with all due respect, it's not one of them that he's scraped, has he? He's not scraped it. I mean, he's put the kid down at the end of the first round, right on the buzzer. If it happens 30 seconds early, he might even finish it there and then, right?
Yeah.
And he wins he's winning the whole thing. He looked good. But you know what I mean? Is he going to compete with the top boys again? I don't think he is, mate. I don't think he is.
No, and I think this comes back to what Dan Hardy was saying when he got interviewed last week on Fight Island. I think he did
how
the thing with
that,
Junkie.
By the way? How funny is watching Dan interview guys that he's fought against? I love it, mate. This is weird. Go on, lads.
But Dan did an interview with the press out in Fight Island, and they were asking about where he, you know, I don't know what he was specifically asking about, but basically Dan was talking about, probably Dan making a comeback, and Dan was talking about whether it's time the UFC introduced the Legends League and introduced fighters, where we went, listen, these guys are legends, these are former champions, Hall of Famers, and Carlos Condit, and for that matter, Court McGee, probably fall into that bracket. Veterans who've been around the sport for a long time. Yeah. Were title contenders or fringe contenders at one stage in their careers. Now they're not. They come in a different bracket. They're perfect because they're both names to do on the top of the prelim cards. Maybe even put a cheeky one on the main card. But we label it as such. You don't have to say this is a Legends match. But you can just go, boom. Just by the matchmaker having it in his mind, Legend versus Legend match. You know, I think the easiest one to do now is Carlos Condit's back, right, great. Either put him in with Dan, or maybe even put him in with like a Matt Brown. Matt Brown, I'm not against that. Bring Matt Brown back. Matt Brown saying he wants to fight again. Carlos Condit, this is Matt Brown. Absolutely, that works down the line. That's where we need to be thinking. I don't want to see Carlos Condit now suddenly put in there with some fucking absolute welterweight killer. With someone who's on the march through the ranks. Yeah, that's what I mean. Do not feed them to Chimaev, for Christ's sake. That's not where Carlos Condit is in his life or his career. And hopefully the UFC see it the same way as well. Because I enjoyed watching Carlos Condit fight. It wasn't a bad fight. I enjoyed it because they're both at the same place in their careers. And I'm quite happy to see Carlos Condit fight a Matt Brown. I do not want to see Carlos Condit fight Chimaev.
Yeah. That's sadly the highlights of this card, man. Isn't it? You know, Holly Holm rolling back the years, decision. Jermaine Duraname getting a sub. I mean, I've never bet on Jermaine.
Rocking all shit.
Bet on that. I've always bet on her kickboxing the shit out of somebody. I've never bet on that. So that's like phenomenal to see. Yeah. And obviously Carlos Condit ending a 5-year skid and getting himself a victory. But the rest of the card, I mean, it's decisions galore. It's not the greatest the UFC card of the year.
No, the other highlights were that Todorovic getting a second round knockout, the middleweight. He looks interesting. I'm excited to see him again. And probably that Kyla Phillips, who also got a second round stoppage, the bantamweight. He looked like he's got some potential as well. So they're two names that you went, okay, you did well on this card because you got main card and you turned it on, you performed, you did what you needed to do. So Kyla Phillips and Dusko Todorovic are two other fighters that come away from this. But other than that, it's not a great card. Don't get caught up on it. You've probably heard all the highlights now.
That's it. We spend a lifetime bashing Bellator on here. That's all we do. I ain't bashing it this week. I'm not going to bash it. Because I actually really enjoyed the fights that they put on. It was easy for me to find on Channel 5 rather than having to leg it around the solar system to see if I could actually get access to a fight. I actually thought, I actually enjoyed it, mate. I find myself in a weird situation going, I'm enjoying this. This is all right. I want to talk James Gallagher, if I may, because
yeah,
a couple of years ago, obviously, he comes unstuck and he gets beat. And you know what social media is like. When you're a brash, character like he is, and you look like a clone of a certain UFC fighter and talk like him and all these types of things, then you're going to get it. The minute that you get beat, everybody's going to be on you. And at the time, you've got to bear in mind, he was 21 years of age. Social media jumps on him, kicks all over him, gives him a little bit of a bashing, what have you. And I really commend what he's done over the last 2 years, James, right? Because like I said, he's a young lad. He can believe his own bullshit if he wanted to. And he could get carried away with the fairies. But he's dusted himself off the defeat. And he stopped. Maybe the defeat is the greatest thing that ever happened to him. Because at the time, I started thinking, he's starting to believe his own bullshit a little bit here. He's starting to believe that he's something that he's not. And what I've seen over the last 2 years is an incredible amount of maturity, whether that be outside the cage, more certainly inside the cage. Because what he's done, and we talk about it all the time, don't we? Those guys and girls that are brilliant at one discipline, jiu-jitsu, judo, wrestling, whatever, they all get a little bit shot happy, don't they? They all get a bit giddy. They go, I fancy having a fight now. Yeah, but you're no good at that. You're not that guy. you're the guy that's...
You're not a boxer.
Yeah, you snap necks, man. That's what you do. Snap the neck, take his legs, get him on the deck and snap him that way. That's what you should be doing. And I felt when he was 2021, he was getting a bit giddy, getting a bit carried away. And maybe it was the Conor hype, hanging about with Conor, seeing Conor knock dudes out, because Conor is a boxer. That's what he is in mixed martial arts. He's a stand-up guy. Yeah. You think, I want to be like him. So you're trying those things and you fall short. That two-year period of maturity, every time I watch him now, he's going, I'm fighting my fight, mate. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. I'm fighting my fight. I'm taking you down and getting you on the deck. And I'm going to snap your neck off. Outstanding, man. Yeah. Do that. Because if you keep doing that, you'll become a superstar, because he's very, very good at that. And it's good to see. It might not necessarily be fan-friendly from the Western side of what we see in fight sports, but I don't give a shit. This is mixed martial arts. You are brilliant at that particular discipline. Continue doing that and you will go a long, long way. Fair play to the kid.
Yeah, I think there's a lack of pressure being on a Bellator card rather than UFC in that regard, though, as well, because I think people who are watching Bellator and are working as hard as you have to work to watch Bellator in the UK are diehard MMA fans. So I think people are appreciating what he can do, how good his jiu-jitsu skills are, because the only people watching it are people who fucking love MMA.
Yeah.
There's not many Fairweather fans that are going to suddenly tune into watching Bellator on Channel 5 once in a blue moon. So in that regard, I think it was a great performance. Don't get me wrong. I think Cal Eleanor talked the talk in the build-up to the fight. He said he would live on the ground with James Gallagher. He would happily go down there with him and stuff like that. But it's like Gallagher just went, come on then, sound. Couple of shots in the feet, then shot for the door. As soon as Cal Eleanor threw a kick, that was it. Boom. He was in, straight in, double leg, take him down, took us back with ease, and then it was patience from there on in. So I thought he was excellent. Don't get me wrong, I think James Gallagher's a much better fighter than Cal Eleanor anyway. It for me, it was a formality, this victory. As much as I like Cal Eleanor's his whole persona and the way he looks, his personality, his character, I think it's brilliant for the sport of MMA. But I always thought this was going to be an easy fight for James Gallagher. But listen, I've got to be honest, like you, did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. Did I enjoy the production of it? Yes, I did. Did I enjoy seeing our mate Gareth A. Davies looking fit and healthy? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Shoot me if you want. I enjoyed the Bellator card. I know I'm dirty. And let's be honest, there's an elephant in the room. It's basically SBG Island Club Show. And I've said it. It is what it is. We all know John Kavanagh basically runs Bellator Europe, and he's basically handpicked opponents for his guys. But I enjoyed it anyway. So more, please. Let's have some more of that stuff. In fact, isn't Michael Venom Page out soon?
This weekend, mate. They're on a roll.
This weekend.
Because they've had, they've had a couple of shows in Milan. I know it was a bit of a bad one midweek because Paul Daly was due to fight and it all fell off with his weight cut and various things like that. But listen, Gareth told me what happened with that, right? So he was obviously struggling with the weight. And because he had to go outside of the bubble in order to get or to go to the hospital, that's why the fight was called off. Because he went outside of the... Because Milan's obviously on full lockdown. Because he went outside the bubble to go to what he classes as a normal hospital to get checked over, that he then would have had to come back and go through all the normal protocols of tests and all that type of stuff once again, and he didn't have enough time to get that right for the fight. So that's why the fight ended up calling off. I'm led to believe that Paul's all right and they're going to be rescheduling it and make that fight once again, which is good. But you're right, this weekend, they're off to Paris. So they've done Milan, they're off to Paris. First, this is a really big night, because for anybody that follows MMA, it's been banned in France. We've spoken to Francis Ngannou about this in the past, haven't we? You know what I mean? And a man that obviously moved from Cameroon up to Paris, started his MMA journey, but he's never been allowed to fight there. And he has yearned for that opportunity for the UFC. Come on, let's go to France, let's do that. And that's not happened yet. Bellator have run with a license. They've jumped all over it. This is the first one. Bellator Paris, Czech Congo, a guy, again, very similar heritages to Francis Ngannou. Yep. A man that grew up and gets the opportunity now. What's he had? Like a 20-year career? Gets the opportunity now to headline Bellator Paris, the first ever one. What a real massive night. Just for MMA in Europe. Really big.
Yeah, especially for Czech Congo as well, you know, who is a Parisian. You know, he might be 45 years of age now, but this would be the perfect way for Czech Congo to sign off on his career. And the exact interviews that we did with Francis Ngannou, I was doing them 10 years ago with Czech Congo, Fighters Only, cover of the magazine. What would it be like to fight in France? What would it be like to be the first? And even then he was like, regardless of who does it, I want to be on that card. So it's amazing that Czech Congo, and kudos to Bellator that they've gone first and they've said to Czech Congo, man, you're going to be the main event. We're going to bring you in. Now, we've got to say that with a caveat, because in typical Bellator fashion, you can't just go, we're doing Bellator Paris, it's going to be amazing, and we've got Czech Congo and Michael Page and this and that, and it's a stacked card, and I want to run through the card. But in typical Bellator fashion, they have to go, this portion of the card's Bellator Paris, then we're going to change it into Bellator 248, when we're going to change the cage canvas, and we're going to have a different main event, and it'll go on a different TV network. And you're just like, what? Why are Bellator trying to complicate things for the sake of complicating things? Just fucking do a fight card in one city, one card, choose one main event and put it on all your channels. So Bellator Paris is on Channel 5, we got last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Bellator Paris, where we're going to get Czech Congo versus Timothy Johnson.
Yeah.
Two absolute veterans, both nearing the age of 50, live on Channel 5. Meanwhile, Michael Page versus Ross Houston, two young fighters, one from London, one from Scotland, in a main event.
Good fight.
Great fight. That's not on Channel 5. That's the 248 portion of the card.
Is that on Sky?
Where's that going to be on?
Is that Sky?
That's going to be on Sky about a week on Thursday.
Why?
What's going on? I don't understand. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I've got that back to front. But I am led to believe that live on Channel 5, you will get Czech Congo versus Timothy Johnson. A flashback to the UFC circa 2011. And we're not going to get Michael Venom Page versus Ross Houston on Channel 5. I hope Sky Sports put it on, but it feels weird that we're going to have one bit on Channel 5, one bit on Sky Sports, almost simultaneously on the same night on two completely rival broadcasters. Again, this brings us back to why Bellator drive us mental. This is a card I want to see.
Yeah.
Sol Rogers is co-main event with Czech Congo. Sol from Manchester, love him to bits, got on tough, fucked up his visa application, had to be pulled out of the final. I know the full backstory with SBG there, with Carl Tanswell, everything, man. I love it and I want him to do well. Teddy Brazier, Dan's mate from fucking their team, he's on this card as well. You've got Melvin Manoff's on this card. I want to see Melvin Manoff fight, absolute legend of the game. And then you've got Ryan Scope from Newcastle. Anyone from Newcastle will tell you, Ryan Scope, all the ability in the world. I want to see Ryan Scope. He's on the Michael Venom Page portion of the card. Bellator, Gareth, anyone? How do we watch these events? Please make it easier for us.
Just put it all on the same thing, man. Put it all on the same thing. What's your problem? I don't get it. You're all in the same building. Put it all on. Anyway.
It's weird. It just makes it so difficult.
Yeah. It's good, though. I mean, what they gave us in Milan last week, very good. What they're giving us in Paris, the fights are good. You've just mentioned MVP versus Houston. Good fight, that. It's a good fight, man.
Yeah, yeah, good fight. Great opportunity for Ross Houston. Because if he can get a win over Michael Venom Page, oof, tell you what, son. Don't get me wrong, I think he's a little bit made for Michael Venom Page, but I'm certainly not counting. You know, he's had a couple of fights. When was the last time we seen MVP? Japan, wasn't it? In that catchweight thing in Japan? No, it's an interesting fight, man. It's an interesting fight, and I just hope it is live on UK TV. I hope I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong.
Back to the UFC then. Our boy Cody Garbrandt, he's out of his fight with Davison Figueiredo, torn his bicep. He's been doing so much as well on the bike and what have you in order to get that weight down. We knew that it was going to be a challenge for him to come down from bantam down to fly. And he's been grafting, and now he's got back in sparring and his bicep's just given up on him. So therefore, he's out. Alex Perez, I think, is the guy that's been called in to replace him for the title fight at UFC 255. That's all right, but it's not the stellar name. Figueiredo's an absolute beast, isn't he? He's proven that he's a beast with the way that he's going about his stuff at the moment, and you kind of needed a stellar name to be alongside him. Yes, Cody's not a flyweight, and yes, there's other people out there that are more worthy of a title shot than Cody right now. I get it. But from a business point of view, you kind of needed just to showcase the division. Cody Garbrandt's going down in weight. He's taking on this absolute savage. It would have been a wonderful moment for whoever wins it. I mean, I personally would have backed Figueiredo to win the fight, right? So it's a wonderful moment for Figueiredo to go, got this stellar name on my list here. The former bantamweight champion. I've just done him. Right, fuck it. I'm going up and I'm going to go and have a play with the bantamweights now. That's how good I am. You know what I mean? And even if Cody comes down there and he managed to get the job done, what an unbelievable thing for him to say as a two-time weight world champion. The narrative would have been great. The narrative's not as good this time, but it's still a solid fight.
Yeah, man. Absolutely a solid fight. Super looking forward to it. In fact, I'm really looking forward to this main event this weekend though as well.
Mariah's Sandhagen.
Mariah's versus Sandhagen, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
I think it's a great fight. You know, it's a buzzing little division, this bantamweight division, and everyone's jostling for position. You know, we all think that Petr Yan against Aljo hasn't been made yet, has it? As far as I know. But it needs to be made next. But I'll tell you what, Mariah's or Sandhagen get the opportunity to put in a big, big performance this weekend and lay claim to that title opportunity because, you know, Sandhagen, okay, he's coming off a loss to Aljo, but Aljo's name isn't in the frame.
Well, you've got to feel for Marlon Moraes, right? Because even though there's a dispute over whether he beat Jose Aldo or not, he did. He got his hand raised, so he comes away with that victory. Yeah. And it's Jose Aldo then that gets the shot at Petr Yan. Well, for the vacant title with Petr Yan. Petr Yan obviously then becomes champion off the back of that. And then, because Aljo puts in a world-class performance against Corey Sandhagen, he's now next in line. And that's legit. I've no problem with Aljamain Sterling being the next boy in line. But Marlon Moraes must feel incredibly hard done by, because what has he done not to be in there? He's now fighting Corey Sandhagen, who's coming off the back of a loss to Aljamain Sterling. Now, Corey Sandhagen winning this at the weekend obviously gets his name back in the mix. But Marlon Moraes, what does it do for him? Does it propel him? I don't know what it does for him. You know what I mean? Because the argument's always going to be, especially from Aljo, the argument's always going to be, well, you've just beaten my leftovers, mate.
And the problem is as well, the problem for Marlon is that Aljo did it in style as well, didn't he? He did it in like fucking 90 seconds or
whatever
it was.
Wrapped him up like an anaconda'd him, mate. Absolutely snapped him to bits.
So the pressure's on Marlon here in a five-rounder to do a more impressive job. Well, good luck with that. Fucking hell.
Sandhagen's
90 seconds to do more impressive. Exactly. Mm. And you fight the wrong fight against Sandhagen. Listen, Cody will be kicking himself because he knows how close he was to a title shot. And he knows anything can happen in those first few seconds when your body is dry, when people can get colds on you, get submissions on you before you even get into the fight. Mm. So he's seething. He comes into this seething, but knowing full well, get a win over Moraes, I'm right back in the frame again. Mm. I feel for Marlon Moraes here because you're right, man. He became the victim for beating Jose Aldo. he never did the scorecards.
No.
Three judges scored the fight. And regardless of what we think, what Dana thinks, he still got his arm raised against Jose Aldo. Yet Jose Aldo got the shot. And now he's having to fight the guy who the number one contenders just beat this guy in 90 seconds. And they're saying to Marais, right, you fight him now.
Mm.
It isn't fair, but unfortunately, it is what it is. And Marlon Marais has got to get the business done.
I'm gutted for
I like it for that reason.
Yeah. I'm gutted for my guy Sadiq as well. This weekend, he was due to fight Edson Barboza. What a name to have on your resume with him, five fights. What was it? This would have been his fifth fight. Jeez. Yeah. And I'd have backed him. Listen, Barboza's mint and he's massive, absolutely huge down at this weight. Of course he is. But Sadiq's a special, special talent, Sadiq Youssef. And I'd have backed him to come through a fight against Edson Barboza. But sadly, that's fallen off. What an opportunity for Makwanami Akane. What an opportunity.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, it is. And the thing with Makwan as well is we know that he's he's fit, he's game, he's strong. The only issue with Makwan is who's he going to have in his corner this weekend?
Mm.
Because he's obviously part of, or SBG. He has been part of it, SBG Island in recent fights.
Yeah.
But obviously the SBG Island team were out in Paris, Milan for Bellator at the weekend, and they'll still be in Paris this weekend. Because there's more of their guys in action this weekend. Ross Houston's an SBG Island guy. So they'll all be over with Bellator. You know, it's John Kavanagh's show, isn't it? Bellator. So it'll be interesting to see who's with Makwan this weekend and how that will impact on him. Because, listen, if I'm Makwan, this is the biggest fight of my life. Edson Barboza's the first truly ranked opponent he's ever faced. And, you know, I know Edson was obviously more of a threat up at lightweight, but it's still fucking Edson Barboza, man. Mm. And if he turns up big, strong, kicking the legs the way he does, this is going to be an absolutely tough fight for Makwan and Amir Khani. Listen, it is what it is. If Makwan can close the distance and get his hands on him, Makwan has the ability to ragdoll anybody. Mm. But Edson Barboza's one big motherfucker. He was a big lightweight, so you better believe he's going to be a massive featherweight. And he was unlucky in his last fight at featherweight against Dan Ig as well.
Yeah.
And I just think those legs, mate, as if anyone would want to fight with Edson,
no.
Where he kicks legs. Fuck that.
It's a real shame this weekend, right? Because we could have been sat here now going, right, which one of our prospects is going to get the 50 Gs, right? Because like I just said,
bonus.
Exactly. So Sadiq was supposed to be fighting Edson Barboza. Your boy Tom was supposed to be fighting weekend just gone, but the fight fell off, so therefore they pushed it back a week. So Tom Aspinall now, and I love the what you did on our social media. It's your credit, this. I wanted him to fight Spivak because I love the fight that he got on the mic. He said, Spivak, me and you, baby. They make the fight. Everybody's buzzing for it. Spivak ends up pulling out. So therefore, they need to get him another fight. So Tom's fighting Bedoy this weekend, isn't he? Who looks like Bia Baracus. Let's say it as it is. He's got the lot. He's got the Bia Baracus haircut as the kid, and he's got a bit of a beard thing going on. And he's taking on Tom Aspinall this weekend. So it would have been wonderful for us to be sat here now, having a bit of banter back and forth, going, right, which one of our lads is going to put in the performance of the night? Obviously, now it's going to be Tom in it, because the way that he dealt with his first opponent, his UFC debut on Fight Island, was absolutely superb. It's a shame, like I said, it's not Spivak, but you can only beat what's in front of you. Let's rock and roll, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, man. He now takes on the Black Samurai, Mr. B.A. Baracus himself. And, you know, disappointing for Tom that he's had to have a change of opponent. But listen, I've told you enough about Tom Aspinall over the last 18 months to ring true now that he is not like any other heavyweight. And he's certainly not like a guy who has fought at light heavyweight previously. Badu's going to get in there and he's going to fancy his chances because I think he's about 6'4". He's a light heavyweight. He's not a fat lumper. You know, he's got heavy hands himself. I don't think he's ever been the distance, Badu. But this is his UFC debut. And he's going to find out pretty quickly that Tom Aspinall is no novice. Tom Aspinall is absolutely 100% legit future UK heavyweight title contender. And Badu is going to get absolutely lit up like a Christmas tree in the first round because he's going to do the one thing you don't do against Tom Aspinall. He's going to come out with his hands down and he's going to start throwing leather and he's going to get hit by shots he doesn't even see coming and get wiped out inside 3 minutes. This one isn't even doing a boxing round, baby.
Do you know, look at him. Do you know, on Friday I'm watching the weigh-ins, right? And I'm thinking, where's Tom Breese? We spoke about Tom Brees last week. Where is he? No, he's not done another one. So I'm literally on the internet going, please tell me Tom Brees hasn't legged it from the hotel or what have you. Then I find out the story of as to why he wasn't fighting at the weekend, just gone. And again, another guy that's had it put back a week. So he's on the card this weekend, top of the prelims, if I'm not mistaken, taking on Khabib Bula, who is undefeated. Again, they're doing it to Tom again, mate. They're putting him in there, says, people know who you are. Here's a kid that we're trying to bring through from the Middle Eastern region. Boom, there you go, sunshine. Go and showcase. Go and show us what you're all about. Tom's got to turn up, man. Got to turn up on Saturday night. Otherwise, he's just going to be that guy that gets fed to new up and comers, isn't he?
I think this will be it. I think Tom has got to win this weekend or the UFC, despite all his potential, despite how amazing he may be on the mats when there's no cameras switched on. Tom's got to win. And I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing that the fight's been pushed back an extra week, that he had to spend an extra week in Fight Island. You know, we talked about it last week where we said, the thing with Tom, it's just about turning up, quite literally. Can he make it to the octagon? Can he make it? And, you know, knowing Tom and unfortunately knowing the way he's behaved in past where he's literally fled the hotel, the extra week, he was probably praying for it. He was probably like, I'm not ready. I wish I had another week.
Yeah.
And then COVID kind of does him a favor and go, just settle down, have your other week. You know, the MMA gods seem to be in Tom's corner a little bit. They're going, okay, Tom, you want another week? You got it, mate. You got another week to prepare. Just relax. Just get it done. I don't think I've ever wanted a fight and a fighter to happen more than this, more than I do right now for Tom Brees. Yeah. I just want him to get in there and get it done. Win, lose, or draw, I just want him to get it done. But I think we're at the point now.
No, it's got to be It's got to be a win.
That's what I mean. I said last time, I just want to see Tom Brees fight again, win, lose, or draw. But what I got was Tom Brees, who didn't want to be in there. Tom Brees, who didn't want to fight. He was a shadow of his former self. And I was like, I don't want to see that again. Yeah. I don't ever want to see that Tom Brees again.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that he's back. But all credit in the world to him that he is back. But I don't want to see that again. I don't want to see the Tom Brees that I seen last time. I need to see Tom Brees in there motivated to get a win. And even if it's just about, and we talked about this as well, even if it's just about Tom Brees getting a win and then going, right, I've done that now. See you later, UFC. See you later, competition. I'm going to focus on coaching. Great. If he needs that in his life, great. But just don't give us another Brendan Allen-style performance, Tom. Don't do what you did in February and just stand there and let someone hit you. Get in there. Shows what Tom Brees is all about. And then if you need to sign off in style, boom, happy days, man. Ride off into the sunset with your arm raised.
It's going to be interesting to see how all that goes down on Fight Island this weekend. I'll back your boy for a 50G. I'll back him there for a knockout in what, 2 minutes?
Inside three minutes.
What do you make of the Conor Dustin Poirier stuff? Because he's come out, Conor and Dustin, they were all nicey-nicey at the start of last week. They were talking about charity dues and all this type of stuff. And then the next thing, we're hearing that Dana's gone, there's a bout agreement, lads. Boom. And off it goes to Dustin and Conor for doing it in the UFC. Not signed, of course. It's just been sent to them. But interesting. Interesting dynamic that is now starting to play out. And I'm up for it. I'm up for Conor Dustin. I'm well up for it. In the UFC, not a charity bout.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Listen, I'm absolutely up for it, but is Conor up for it? That's the million-dollar question. Right here, right now, we're talking Monday lunchtime and still nothing back from Conor McGregor, if the UFC are to be believed. Dustin Poirier came back straight away. Yep, I'm in. I'm in, UFC. Sign me up. And we're led to believe, as of today, Monday, Conor McGregor hasn't replied to the UFC. I don't want to see an exhibition match in Dublin between Conor and Dustin Poirier. I don't want to see Conor McGregor go to the Middle East and fight Manny Pacquiao either. I want to see Conor McGregor back inside an octagon. The problem is, I've only seen Conor McGregor back in an octagon once in the last few years against Cowboy, who he was able to manipulate. He was able to talk out of winning that fight long before the fight even started. who used a capacity crowd in Las Vegas to completely and utterly melt Cowboy before the fight begun. Guess what? He's already done that to Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier became five times the fighter after he lived in Conor McGregor's bubble, and it made him as a fighter. In fact, it absolutely made him. Mm-hmm. Dustin Poirier knows what to expect in the Conor McGregor world. He knows what to expect in the Conor McGregor bubble, and he knows he won't be intimidated by it next time around. So I want to see that fight. The problem is, has Conor bitten off more than he can chew now? Because he's backed himself into a corner. Because he's tried to have a go, get one back at Dana by going, I'll tell you what, then, Dustin, me and you'll do an exhibition over here. Poirier's gone, yes, and. And the UFC have gone, contracts, boys, read your small print, but we'll do the fight. There you go. And now Conor's like, oh, shit. Manny? 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 It's like Will in the in-between us when he shits himself in an exam. Oh, Phil. Phil. He's like that now, calling to Manny. 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 100 million for a boxing match in the Middle East. Let's go. Because Dustin Poirier is a real fight, man. It's a real fight. And only a 100% motivated, committed, focused Conor McGregor beats Dustin Poirier. And but guess what? I want to see that Conor back. Yeah, I want to come back.
And he's gonna need the fans, man. You're gonna need the full Conor McGregor effect.
But is that enough to beat Dustin though? Dustin's been there, done it, wore the t-shirt.
I think it's
Dustin
needed.
Is the wrong opponent for that.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if it has an effect, but it's needed. Not having him there most certainly has an effect. So try and create that craziness throughout the course of a fight week. Get the, you know, you want the media bubble, don't you? You want the fucking fans all around it just for some type of Conor normality for Conor's point of view. You know what I mean? Whereas, like you've just said there, the first fight has most certainly helped Dustin Poirier sculpt himself into what he is today. And he's the second. Well, you've obviously got Khabib and Gaethje going at it, but he's the next guy.
Yeah.
He's the next guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
try and create some type of normality as much as you can if Conor McGregor's going to do it. Listen, we're getting giddy. It's not going to happen. That fight's not happening. Why would you do it? If you're Conor, why would you do it?
Well,
you're promised, win this, it's Khabib.
And he will be. I don't think there's any problems with that. I think everyone can agree with that. We can all sign up for that, can't we?
Yeah.
You win this fight against Dustin Poirier, the winner fights the winner of Khabib versus Gaethje. Simple. Done. Man, I'm in. Sign me up. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. I could even slightly skew it and go, you know what? If Conor goes and beats Tony Ferguson, I'll still have him straight in. It's Conor, man. I'll still put him straight in with a title fight if he wants to circumnavigate Dustin or whatever. But it's Conor that did the Dustin thing. Hmm. It's Conor that's gone for Dustin. And as I say, I don't know whether it's blown up in his face a little bit, because I think Dustin's a much riskier fight than Tony. I think Tony Ferguson with fans in Vegas, the Conor Roadshow, Tony Ferguson wouldn't even be able to spell his own name by the end of press week. Never mind, focus on a fight. His head would be so far up his arse, Conor would get inside him. You can't do that to Dustin Poirier no more. He's been there. That's why I think it's a risky fight, man. But if you're Conor and you want a title fight, no disputing him. If he comes back and beats Dustin, he's in. The thing with Conor is, I always feel like there's a ulterior motive. When you think, oh shit, that's a risky way to go, Conor. It's because he's getting you to look this way because he's going that way. And I think while he's calling for Dustin and talking about friendlies and talking about behind closed door exhibition fights, what he's really doing is negotiating with fucking Manny Pacquiao's people in the Middle East to win an absolute fortune for another exhibition boxing match. That's really what's going on.
It's just business, baby. It's just business. There you go.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much for listening to us. In a few weeks' time, we've got a bit of news for you. You might have seen a bit going on social media, where Nick and a fellow Scouser have gone into cahoots. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say on that. And we'll tell you a little bit more about it in the forthcoming weeks. But for now, buy Proper Tackle.
For now, the only way to tune into Fight Island, there's three more events to go. Get your proper tackle. It's the only beer that goes the distance. Absolutely proven to go the distance. We are going to be in Fight Island for Habib. And I want to see everybody using that hashtag, proper tackle. Get your cans up there. We'll give it a big retweet. We're going to be on this. Listen, if it's not locked down in Abu Dhabi, we're going to swipe it. It's going to be in our bags. When we get back, we're going to give a load of this gear away that we get from Fight Island. So in the meantime, get some cans, support the lads. We're not a Patreon. We're not making you pay for this content. The least you can do is buy a few beers, enjoy the fights. The only beer that goes the distance.
Get it all on our website, fightdisciples.com. Get yourself on there. And as I said, we've got another product coming for you for Christmas. You'll enjoy it. Thank you very much for listening to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Fight Disciples on iTunes is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com for everything else. Get all over it. There's loads of stuff going up on all our platforms. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.